Morning. How are you doing this morning? It's good to see you. Some of you are going to need to spread out so that it looks like the building's a little fuller than it is. We've got a number of folks that are sick, and then because of the weather, there's a few folks that are out. But you're here, and the Lord's got a blessing for you. And so I pray that you'll receive it, whether it's through the songs or through the preaching or the prayers, that you'll receive the blessing that God has for you. It's good to be in His house.
Amen.
Psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, go into the house of the Lord. Always good to be with fellow believers and just enjoy the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Maybe pray. Father God, we bow before you this morning to acknowledge your lordship, to acknowledge that you are the Almighty and the Everlasting. You're the one here from the beginning, and you'll be here to the end. And we want you to know that you're welcome here today. You know our hearts, you know our needs. And so, Father, I pray that today that the Holy Spirit, if we need encouragement, healing, direction, financial blessing, whatever it is, Lord, out of your wisdom and your mercy and your grace, we receive it from you. And Father, Jesus often told his hearers, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, may we hear from you today, not just with our physical ears, but with our spiritual ears. Father, I pray for those that could not be here today because of sickness. I lift them up that today the Spirit of God might touch their bodies. And I know that there may be some of them listening later on the website. Father, I pray that you'll encourage them. You'll touch them. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus, our wonderful Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It is good to see you. The pastor just touched on how the name Wonderful, and indeed we do serve a wonderful Christ, a wonderful Savior. And that's what I want us to sing together today. If you would please, in our opening hymn, His Name is Wonderful. As we all stand, please. mind standing, please, for prayer.
Dear Lord, we want to thank you for allowing us to come to your house today. Dear Lord, just give the pastor the words we need to hear today. This will be a way of our lives, which you've given for us to be a pastor. To me, our prayer list, and I've spoken with this, and this will be about in a few moments. Would you lay your healing hand on each situation and how that will be today? And for the matter you're about to receive, please, for the glory of God, your kingdom. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. Well, good morning. It is good to see you all again. I have some announcements I want to share with you at this time. You see in the bulletin that you council members that today would have been a church council meeting, but we decided not to have the council meeting, so there'll be no church council meeting at 11 today, okay? Tuesday is a very important time for the Golden Agers, and for all of you who like to join us, we will be going for our apple trip, and we'll be leaving Tuesday, October the 14th. We will leave the church at 8 a.m., and we'll travel to Granddad's Apples and then to Moose Cafe and just have a good time together for the day and get back here around 5 p.m. So if you hadn't already signed up, you can do that. There's still time for you to do that. And also, don't want you to forget the Boston Butt Sale. The Boston Butt Sale is at the bottom of your bulletin. We will be having that, so keep that up and today. Jeff, you want to add anything to that, sir?
Just let us know. We need those tricks we can see how many we've got sold.
Okay.
I got to gather up cookers. So.
Okay. All right. All righty. Let's go back into now to Wednesday. If you would, Wednesday we will have Bible study as usual, and there will be a deacons meeting following that Wednesday night. Okay. Pastor Appreciation Month. Pastor Appreciation Month is indeed here. And we need to show Pastor Ed, as we should every Sunday or every day, we appreciate him. But there will also will be taking up a love offering on the last Sunday, October the 26th. And that's all the announcements I have, except for a birth announcement. Does anybody else have anything? Then grandfather and grandmother, you're here today. It's a girl, Madeline Clark Whitley, born October the 10th. And 7 pounds, 6 ounces, 19 inches long. Proud parents, Baron and Emily Whitley. Proud big sister, Darcy Ann Whitley. Proud grandparents, Chris and Veronica Whitley. Mark and Michelle Clarkston. And proud great-grandparent, Barbara Whitley. And congratulations to you, brother. All right, no further announcements. Then we'll go into our prayer requests. This morning. Does anybody have any prayer requests? Before we do, I want to say right now how much I appreciate the prayers you all have on behalf of my daughter-in-law, Tammy, and on behalf of me. I had AFib, and I had for three days in the hospital with AFib, and to show you how good God is, Sunday morning, about 11 o'clock, the nurse walks in and she says, "Did you feel anything?" And I said, No, except for the prayers of God's children. I know I got a lot of those. And she said, your heart just went back in rhythm. And it hasn't been out of rhythm since. So I just want to praise God for that. Praise God for that. I also want to give you a report on Tammy, the latest I got report this morning. Tammy is progressing. She's able to sit up some. She's certainly off all life support. She's able to breathe on her own. And she can say a few words, but no sentences. And her brain is still not fully awake. With all the trauma that she's had, I can understand all of that. And so, but she is making progress. And Phil asked me again to express to you all what a great, great thoughts and prayers and blessings that you all have extended the prayers. I can't tell you how many times I meet people on the street that just ask how she's doing. So it's just been a wonderful experience as far as prayer and prayer lifted. And I want to say a great big thank you to all of you for that. All right, with all that being said, I know there's some needs here. So is anyone here? Yes. Oh, you okay? Hey, Chris, you all right?
Everything went smooth. My MRI went great. I don't have to have surgery, just a little bit of outpatient treatment on my right foot. And we just wanted to thank the church for all the prayers, phone calls, and texts.
Thank you, Angie. Thank you very, very much. God is good. Yes?
Leonard Kim was able to come down to our house this past Sunday.
Yes. Wonderful.
She's on the chemo pill, and everything seems to be good, but we know she still has cancer in her liver, but we're praying yes. that it's smaller than it was. So my heart is just rejoicing, thanking God for all his mercies.
Praise the Lord. Amen. How's Bobby? Bobby strong this morning?
He's okay. Just not feeling well.
Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for an opportunity, Lord, that we can stand and, Lord, to be able to bow our heads and our feet and our bodies all up to you and say thank you, Lord, for the blessings. And, Lord, before I ask you for any more, Lord, I just want to say thank you for what you've already given us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the reports that we've already heard from Angie, from the praise reports that she's given us. For Chris and all of the praise report that she shared, and then again for Kim, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for even though the cancer is there, it's smaller, and Lord, you're in control, and we thank you for your blessings there. We thank you, Lord, for your continued blessings upon Tammy, our daughter-in-law, Lord. We know, Lord, that she's got a long road back, but Lord, through your help and through your guidance, there's a path there that she can get back, and we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that I'm able to be here today, Lord, and be able to be strong and be able to work in your vineyard today. And we thank you, Lord, for our pastor. We pray a special blessing upon him. Not only should we be thanking for him during this month, but for all the times. We ask the Lord to continue to bless him, undergird him, give him strength, give him courage. And then, Lord, these blessings now are humbly blessed in your name. Amen. Thinking about a song of praise for this morning, and there's a song that if you come to a Towers concert, you'll hear this, the first song that we do. It's Amazing Grace. And I don't know of a better song that we can sing together this morning together and to be able to be thankful than to be thankful for God's amazing grace. So if we would, we're going to sing it a cappella. So if you would stand, let's sing Amazing Grace. We've got three verses to sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
everybody said,
amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Children, you are dismissed.
I'm sorry. Next Sunday, we've got a paper up here on the office doors. We're going to have it a boat next Sunday on the 19th of May. Everybody's got to get a paper.
Okay, bylaw. Okay, there's a bylaw, new bylaw here that will be voted on next Sunday. Come by and pick up a copy of it so you'll know what we'll be discussing, okay? Thank you.
I've participated in a few building projects over the years, and I think it goes something like this. You get plans for the building, whether it's a house or an office building or whatever. You get your plans. You get your permits. Then somebody goes out there with a square and some string and some stakes, and they outline where the walls are going to go. And then an individual with a backhoe or a backhoe with a little narrower bucket on it digs a trench where all of the foundations are going to go. The depending on the soil and how tall the building's going to be, the foundation may be deeper or deeper or deeper. When the trench is dug, then the trucks with the cement come in and they pour cement around in those trenches. And again, depending on how high the building's going to be, the depth of the cement. And then you have these guys, masons, that come in and lay block and brick on that cement up to a certain level. And once they have that foundation in, then they start building the floor and the walls. But you don't just go out there and start building walls on dirt. Because if you do, you'll end up with a building that will collapse. Now you keep that picture in your mind as we go back to some scripture we looked at last week, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And we'll start at verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you might be ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And you remember last week we talked about how old we are spiritually, not how long we've been a Christian, but how our spiritual age, how much we've grown. Whether we're still babies, drinking milk, or whether we're going on to stronger meat. Now, he's chastising these people. The writer of Hebrews is chastising these people because they haven't grown. He calls them dull of hearing. He says you need a milk. And you know, I've known some 70-year-old Christians that can't even handle milk, they have to have the 2% or the 1%. They just can't get it. And so he's chastising them because they're not growing spiritually. And if you remember some of the scriptures that we looked at last week, Jesus tells us that in the last days, which we believe we're in, they're going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. And he says that if it were possible, they will even deceive the very elect. And so today we see a lot of, sad to say, Christians, they love Jesus, but they just haven't grown. They don't have the spiritual discernment, and so they follow this politician or this preacher or this teacher or somebody, and they're all off in weird ways. And you don't have to be off too much in the beginning. Now, if you go here to Charlotte, the airport, and I don't know what angle it is from there to, say, L.A., but if that pilot sets the compass or however it is on an airplane right, he's going to fly just as he to L.A. But if he sets it off on a degree, it won't be far when you go across the mountains, the deviation. But by the time you get to the West Coast, you may be flying over Alaska instead of over California. And so there are groups that they don't look like they're off much. But whenever you get them too far along, they're really off. And there's a lot of people being deceived because they're spiritual babies. And it's a problem. Now, remember when the New Testament was written, these books were written, there were no verses, there were no chapters. It was just one long letter. So when you get to chapter 6, it's just a continuation of the thought, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. He goes on to say here, listen, we're going to grow and go on from the beginning. We're going to build on the foundation. We're going to build on the foundation a very powerful, wonderful Christian life. And you know, the problem is when I read about the foundation stones that he mentions here, a lot of Christians I know haven't even laid the foundation stones. And you need to ask yourself, how many of these foundation stones are a part of my life, my belief, my practice as a believer in Jesus? How many of these foundation stones are in my life? Do I believe them? Do I follow them? Do I practice them? Are they exhibited in my life? What about these foundation stones? There are a lot of folks that love Jesus. I don't doubt their love for Jesus. I don't doubt their Christianity. But they haven't even put the foundation stones. And when I mention some of them, you may say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. I've been going to church for 100 years, and I've never heard a sermon on that. Or I've never had a Sunday school lesson on that. And yet, he's going to lay for us some foundation stones. And we need to ask ourselves, are they a part of our life? He talks about the basic message, and he says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, go on unto perfection, go on to spiritual maturity. Well, have we gone on to spiritual maturity? The first one he says is not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. He says one thing, part of the foundation is that you have rejected dead works. Now, remember when Hebrews was written around 660 AD, if you start, I know it's off a little bit, but if you say Jesus was born in 0, died in 33, 60 was just a few years later, and the temple in Jerusalem was still in existence up till about 70 AD. So, and if you remember how often Paul had to battle the Judaizers and they came in and said, you got to be circumcised to be saved. You've got to keep these Jewish rituals to be saved. You've got to do this, that, and the other to be saved. That was the battle of that day. You got to keep the Jewish rituals. And he says, they don't have anything to do with salvation. He said, lay aside the doctrine of dead works because they don't save you. Now, what about us? I don't think I have to worry about you going up to Washington, D.C. to some temple and sacrificing a bull or a goat or a sheep or whatever. That's not our problem. But what about dead works? What about dead works? What about the things that people add to salvation? I can take you to churches. Say, oh, you got to believe in Jesus. Amen. But you walk into that church with a Bible under your arm that's not a King James Version, they're going to call you a heretic and a heathen and kick you out the door. I was watching a pastor, oh, maybe it's been 3 or 4 months, and he has one of those big wraparound auditoriums, looks like to seat 2,000 or 3,000. And he says, somebody come to my church without a King James Version, I'm telling them to go home. Take you to other churches, you women show up in pants, you're a heathen and you're going home. You show up in a skirt and it don't drag the ground, you're a heathen and you're going home. I know of churches, denominations, that don't baptize the way we do. And if you went to one of those churches, say, I want to join, they say, how were you baptized? And you'd tell them, they say, that don't count. We got to baptize you this certain way or you're going to hell. I was driving somewhere a few years ago and had the radio on to a religious station, and I was listening to people like Charles Stanley and, you know, good guy. And then this next preacher came on after the others' 30 minutes were over, and he says, if we weren't a part of his denomination, you was going to hell. You weren't even saved. And I'm thinking, well, you know, that wasn't what the Lord told me. All kind of dead works that people add to salvation, they don't have a thing to do with whether you're saved or not. Now, I think a woman ought to dress decently and in order. I preach from the King James Bible, but I don't, you know, if you don't read Greek and Hebrew, everything's a translation. Right. Now, if you read Greek and Hebrew, you're good to go. But the Bible was written in Greek, Hebrew, and in a few places, Aramaic. And everything's a translation. And then there are paraphrases. And you know, from time to time, you'll see me, especially in the newsletter, quote a scripture in another translation or paraphrase because I want you to understand it a little better. I love the King James Bible. Grew up on it. Still use it. But whether I use the King James Bible or not, isn't going to get me into heaven. He says the first thing you got to do is realize there's absolutely nothing you can add to the gospel to get into heaven. Lay aside dead works. And then he says, going with that, faith toward God. You remember other places here in Hebrews, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We live by faith, not by sight. Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who believe, who've never seen me, never put their fingers in my hand, never put their hand in my side, but still believe. We live by faith. The Bible simply says, if you believe in your heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth him as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. Amen. That's simple. That's simple. It doesn't take a lot of advanced doctrine. Now, there's things that we build on the doctrine because that's what he's telling us we need to do. But we need to understand the foundation is a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not church membership. It's a personal relationship with Jesus. He says you need to, the first part of the foundation is realize there's absolutely nothing you can do to add to your salvation. And they don't need to get into a lot of periphery things. You just need a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, and this is where it starts to get tricky. He says, foundation of dead works, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms. Baptisms. What do you think of when you think of baptism? This baptistry right behind me, for most of us. And you, if you were baptized in that baptistry, you'll think about when you were baptized. If you were baptized somewhere else, I mean, you know, I picture the baptistry over there in West Albemarle Baptist Church where I was baptized. You may have been baptized in a creek or a river or somebody's swimming pool. In some churches, they don't have a baptistry now, but bring in one of those big water tanks like you water your cattle with, and they'll sit it right here and they'll baptize in that tank. That's what we think of in baptism. But let me ask you, how many baptisms are mentioned in the New Testament? Seven. Now, how many of these, beside water, have you heard a Sunday school lesson on? One or two of them, I think you probably have. Matthew 3:11 talks about a baptism of fire. John 1 and Acts 11 talks about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the charismatic folks believe in that if you baptize in the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues. Now, it's very interesting. For some denominations, speaking in tongues is a dirty word. For other denominations, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not even saved. Both can't be right. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 6 and in other places, they talk about the baptism of suffering or the baptism into the death of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:2, you talk about baptism into the cloud and the baptism into Moses. When have you heard Sunday school lesson on that? Mark and Acts talk about baptism of repentance. You see, if this is the foundation, unfortunately, we don't teach it. We don't preach it. And yet it's there in the Bible. He says, the doctrine of baptisms, plural. I don't know how many he had in mind. There may be some others than the ones I just mentioned. But they're different. And the baptism into Christ, as I think about those scriptures that apply to that, that's a powerful doctrine. But what do we know about it? And he says that's a part of the foundation. And then he goes on to say, the laying on of hands. Laying on of hands. There's at least four different New Testament ideas behind laying on of hands. Most of the time we think about ordaining a preacher or a deacon. And they come down and usually they kneel or they sit, and other deacons and preachers come and lay their hands on them. What is that? That's an ordination, a laying on of hands for ministry. Some type of ministry. And if you go into Acts 13, after the Holy Spirit said, separate Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas, for the ministry I have for them, it says they prayed over them, laid hands on them, and they sent them out as those first missionaries. But you also read about Jesus, who said, let the little children come unto me and forbid them not. And he says he laid his hands on them and blessed them. You know, you can lay hands on somebody and impart blessing to them. Now, you need to be careful about just running up and start popping people, but with their permission, you can impart a blessing to somebody by laying on of hands. You can lay hands on somebody to impart spiritual gifts. You remember, Paul writes to Timothy and says, neglect not the gift that's in you that was imparted unto you by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. We can impart spiritual gifts. And we can impart healing. We can impart healing. And Jesus in Mark talks about the things that will follow those who believe as they go out and witness. He says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How many of us do that? How many of us believe it even works? How many of us tried it a few times and it didn't seem to work? And so we got discouraged and quit. I'll tell you two stories. One is a guy I know is a great Bible teacher. I've got lots of his Bible teachings on my phone, and I listen to them at 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes when I can't sleep. He says, you know, said the first person I laid hands on died. But he said, I didn't quit. And healing is not his major message. Teaching the word of God is his major message. But he does believe in it. And so from time to time, remarkable healings do take place. And then I think about another fellow. I've heard this man in person. He's passed away now. I've read his book, or maybe books. He was a nightclub singer in the casinos in Vegas or Reno. He was into that immoral, ungodly lifestyle, and God saved him. God called him to preach. He started a church. And God impressed upon him, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And so every service they say, you know, anybody wants to come down, we'll lay hands on you and pray for you. He said, you know what? 6 months went by and not a single person got healed. He said, in fact, if they had the cold or a flu, we caught it. But he said after 6 months, God began to do marvelous things. And I saw him minister and God do marvelous things. You see, after 6 months, it's like some of you guys that are fishermen. You can go fish all day, and if you don't catch anything, you're as happy as can be. If I don't catch something in 15 or 20 minutes, I'm coming home. I just don't have the patience for it. You're a fisherman. I'm a pretend fisherman. And sometimes we get discouraged praying for people because everybody doesn't get healed immediately. And one thing we need to remember, and I shared this with some folks not long ago, in Acts where it says, and Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That word healing is not an instantaneous healing. It's a gradual healing. Let me ask you this. You talk about getting discouraged and quitting. Pick out any doctor you want. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, phone in his office rings. His receptionist answers the phone and says, can I help you? And they said, well, said, Billy Joe Bob, one of your patients, just died. So you can take him off the patient list. Does that doctor, this receptionist goes tell the doctor, the doctor said, well, I quit. One of my patients died. No, he just says, bring in the next one. Why do we Christians give up and quit? But he says, we need to learn the doctrine of laying on of hands. And then he goes on to say, the resurrection of the dead. You remember in 1 Corinthians 14. Not 1 Thessalonians 4, and then in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks a lot about the resurrection of the dead. You know, there are Christians that say, I don't believe in it. There are Christians that say, I don't believe in the rapture of the church. What do you believe? Now, this is one of those doctrines that we do preach and we do teach. From Corinthians and from 1 Thessalonians. But he said that's a part of the foundation. And then lastly of the doctrines, he says eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. What do you believe about that? Do you really believe people that are without Jesus die and go to hell? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. The Bible says that there's a judgment seat of Christ for believers. The Bible talks about a great white throne judgment, and it says people whose names were not found in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire. And yet, there are people who say, I'm a Christian, but they're universalist. Who believe God would not let anybody go to hell, everybody's going to heaven. What do we believe? What's our foundation? You see, all of these, he says, are the building blocks, the foundation upon which we are to build our Christianity. And it discourages me to think how little we really know about some of them. We need to make sure the foundation is there if we're going to build a mature, strong, powerful Christianity. And it's not that most of us aren't good folks. We love Jesus. We've just never been taught. There are blocks that we've just never studied. We've never been taught. We just read over them. I encourage you in these last days, grow from spiritual babyhood to spiritual maturity. I encourage you, let's learn what these building blocks are. By the way, Wednesday nights we just started Hebrews, and I think when we get here to the sixth chapter, I may go into all of the that I just barely mentioned here, because it'd be a good study on several of these that we've never thought about before. God wants us to be powerful. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be a fantastic witness to a lost and dying world. But if we try to erect a house without a solid foundation, we're going to have a problem. And I look at some of these and I think, you know, Ed, you've been preaching for 60-something years. How solid are some of these in your life? How solid are some of them in my life? We need to grow. We need to grow. We need to grow. Bible talks about in the last days, people were carried away by every wind of doctrine. Follow this and follow that and follow the other. And I've had church members that suddenly became Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know the exact statistics now, and I may be off, but at one time they were saying that 10,000 Southern Baptists a week joined the Mormon church. Now, whether that was just a momentary thing or whether that's a continuing thing, I don't know. How many Christians led astray because there's not a solid foundation in their life? Bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. Where are you spiritually? How many of these foundation stones are in your life? Would you pray and ask the Lord to help you to grow spiritually? That's my prayer for me. I don't want to have a weak foundation on any corner. I want my life to be built strong in the Word of God. Not a foundation of man, but a foundation of the Word of God. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to live in such a way that others see Jesus in us because we're solid. Father, deliver us from spiritual babyhood. In Jesus' name. As we have an invitation, if there's somebody that needs to come and make some decision, we invite you to come.
If you would stand, please. Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.